The following talk was conducted on the 21st of May 2023 and is entitled Are You Swimming in Goop? Presented by licensed Unity teacher Diane Barry.
So welcome everybody to this question I have for everyone this morning, and that is, are we swimming in goop? So are we? Funny, I guess when you read the blurb about today's message and thought, what's she talking about? Well, I'll get to that soon. Last Sunday was Mother's Day. And so I wanted to start with something that came up for me. And that was about a really important person in my life these days, although she's not physically in my life and never has been. And that's our wonderful co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, who was nicknamed Mother Myrtle for all her caring and support and so much more. Frances Fuchs, in her book, at the front of the book of Healing Letters, there's a foreword or an appreciation section that's written by Frances Fuchs. And it reads like this. This book is made up of extracts from the letters of Myrtle Paige Fillmore, Mother of Unity, as she was lovingly called and as she was in its founding, by her mothering spirit of love and faith and service. In cooperation with her husband, Charles Fillmore, she moulded Unity and upheld it in during the years of its growth. As the letters from which these extracts were taken blessed and lifted those to whom they were sent, it is hoped that they will do this for others as they now go forth in printed form, that they will bless students everywhere and thus extend Myrtle Fillmore's ministry on this plane, as she is now extending it on the other plane to which she said she was called for another phase of Christ's ministry. The preparation of these pages for your perusal has been a service of love undertaken in appreciation of a great soul, the Mother of Unity. It has been like being again in her presence and receiving instruction and inspiration from the Christ mind that spoke so freely through her, like receiving a benediction from her. May you too, as you read these pages, receive that Christ to whom she always pointed all who came to her. Some of the fire of her inspiration, some of the steadfastness of her faith, some of the zeal for she had for truth, as well as the wisdom and undertaking with which she handled all problems. The love she so freely bestowed on all. And may you, as you are lifted with these Christ attributes as she used them, to inspire your brother and lift the race it's ongoing to glory. Frances Fuchs. So we all know Myrtle's wonderful story. But the parts that I like are that she was unwell and she was a mother with two young children and a husband and a house to look after, and she couldn't manage that. And in her day, that's what her job was. Her work was to do those things, and she couldn't really deal with it. Her and Charles went along to a talk with E.B. Weeks. And you know what? Charles didn't seem to hear the same information that Myrtle did, which is true for many of us. We don't all hear the same information. We don't all hear the same things in the talk. Of course, she came home and she heard that wonderful words that E.B. Weeks had said, you are a child of God, and therefore you do not inherit sickness. And so she took that on board, and she prayed, and she spent quite a lot of time each day praying and meditating and apologising to her body for the wrong thoughts and beliefs that she'd carried for so long. And then she started blessing her body and loving it. And along that path journey of changing her thoughts and beliefs, she then moved into changing her actions, as we often do when we shift them. And she started to feel better and eat better and look after herself better and treasure herself more. And so I believe I am fortunate that our guiding Unity principles and truth teachings are so much from Myrtle. And I'm so grateful to Myrtle how she took on the path of responsibility for her own healing after learning from E.B. Weeks that she was a child of God and did not inherit sickness. I'm not sure if you're aware, My own mother passed at the age of 43. I think it was the real beginning of my journey to questioning everything. I did not witness doctors who helped my mother at all. In fact, my mum was sick from the age of 39. Having had tests 10 months earlier, before a major mastectomy, where the doctors informed her that all the tests were clear. After the operation, the surgeon said that the growth had been there for many, many years. But he would not support her to inquire about the obviously wrong results of the previous tests and the previous doctor. My path, my search for my spiritual life started before then, around 10. I think I was looking for connection or something. However, during my mum's illness and years since, I was looking for more. Much more happened along my life from this major thing in my life. Your mum is a special person, and my mum held our family together, our very dysfunctional family together. So why today do I want to talk about goop? Because along my journey, there has been lots and lots and lots of goop. Goop, it's the good opinion of other people. You see, a lot of people are swimming in goop. Some are even stuck in goop. You get goop about jobs, careers, finances, houses, marriages, children, babies. Everyone has something to say to you about raising children. They all have good opinions and they want to share their opinions. You see, I learned that those opinions, well, are not always so good. I am aware, I need to be aware and observe myself, my beliefs, my thoughts, my feelings. But most of them came from others. As a child, we learned from the people and environment around us. Many of us at Unity have been working on ourselves to release ourselves from that learning. We all know here that we are born perfect and whole. You may have heard me say it before, that you were meant to be here. There is a 1 in 400 trillion chance of you being born. It's a lot of zeros, isn't it? 400 trillion. And yet, here you are, learning you are enough. In fact, you can never not be enough. I mean, after all, 1 in 400 trillion. And your story has merit. Whatever it is, when you grow, when you share, when you contribute from who you are, the world needs that. It requires that. So, what about goop? Well, we all do it, and we all have to face it. You know that not all opinions, as well-intentioned as they may be, are good for you or for your good. You see, knowing something doesn't make it good. Your experience is not their experience. There are only a very few people with such levels of profound knowledge or authentic knowledge that can save you from running in circles, whatever the topic. And your spiritual journey or your life journey is definitely the main topic, the main one. Self-inquiry, learning about you, becoming aware of you, observing you, that is what matters. So what are you thinking about? I'm currently teaching self-care classes for Unity National School. And of course, each step of the self-care, whether it's social or physical or intellectual or emotional, it's all about looking at you and taking steps for your own self-care. But this week, a really interesting topic came up in our intellectual self-care as we started through that chapter. And it's a writing that's on Unity website, unity.org headquarters website. And it's called The Law of Mind Action by Reverend Paul Hasselbeck. And this is where he starts out. How do your thoughts shape our experiences? How do our thoughts shape our experiences? There's a wonderful story that he wishes he knew who wrote it, that he could give credit to them. But this is it. A minister is preaching about the law of mind action. With great passion, he preached that very thoughts we hold in our minds become our reality. All during the sermon, the pastor could not help but notice that a teenage boy was squirming in his seat while he preached. And the more the minister preached, the more upset the young man became. The minister could not wait to get the chance to talk to this young man and ask him what was up. When he did, the young teenage boy said sheepishly, "Pastor, all I can think about are girls these days. I don't want to be a girl." Sorry, couldn't resist. Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and his humour. So back to my goop and someone more important in all of that for me, and that is Jesus. Jesus, he's a way shower because he was one who demonstrated that profound knowledge constantly and consistently. In every story, Jesus is shown to not listen to the goop. He could see the dimensions of wholeness, completeness, of love, compassion, wisdom, and faith. It is one of my things, you know, I got this through my studies in my LUT years, studying and working with the material much more closely, that I realized that by the time I'd finished the course, all I had to do was learn what Jesus did and do that. Did you like that song today? What would Jesus do? I think it's perfect. And it's a great question to carry around with you. What would Jesus do? Not necessarily an easy one, because we may not like the answer. Those around us that we are listening to may not be offering advice, opinions, or mandates that are true or in our best interests. We unfortunately have created a coliseum of the TV that distracts us from truth, or at least from a more balanced information. This is also goop, or maybe profit making and manipulation to buy what products they are selling. It's in our world everywhere. Lots and lots of goop. We are swimming in it. We have been stuck in it. The last 3 years have shown us that. And worse, we are still in it today with today's news or the new narrative. So whether it's doctors telling my mum her tests were clear and were wrong, or pain obviously caused her to investigate further, albeit a little bit late, or whether it's our politicians telling us, well, telling all of us, we are recovering our economy and we're all doing well, when we're in debt at $1.162 billion, which means basically $1.1 trillion. Or whether it's someone telling you we have climate problem and carbon must be reduced to save us. I'm encouraging you this. We have unity. We are aware of our thoughts, feelings, responses that points us to something to change our lives. First, if you feel fear from any of these things, or anything at a personal level, external experience, or a wider Australian or global level, first stop. Ask, what would Jesus do? Then deal with that fear. How? Okay, so I suggested that you do your own learning about whatever it is. For instance, climate change and the carbon story. Do you know how much carbon is in our atmosphere? What percentage of our atmosphere is carbon? Senator Rennick in Parliament recently did a wonderful speech all about thermodynamics. So educational and as well practical. Are we in goop? Oh, yes, by the way, just for your information, carbon makes up 0.4% of our atmosphere. And then when you learn about the importance of carbon, like trees need it, you wonder, what is this all about? Of course, it's about money and profits. And then, you know, we are in Goop. Therefore, are you swimming in Goop? Find out for yourself. That is the journey of life, for us to learn, to grow, and to contribute, or to serve, if you like. And then apply some unity. If you are in fear over any topic, if you start with denials, and metaphysics classes teach this the best, I think. Observe if you are feeling or even behaving from the place of fear. Think first of unity and Jesus. What? We aren't meant to live like that. Remember, you make a statement denying any power in thoughts or feelings of fear, or whatever it is that is not serving you, such as, I deny any power in thoughts and feelings of regarding climate change. Then breathe that in. Sit with it. Start to learn what it is and what are both sides of the story, the yes and the no, and what is to be gained by each side. This is the growth and understanding. Remember Jesus, any story, like the fishermen who could not catch any fish, and he said to them, throw your nets to the other side of the boat. There is another belief. See for yourself that fear is not the way. We want to shift to love, to faith, to understanding and wisdom that becomes our own learning, our own growth. Think of the story of Jesus walking on the water. Jesus did not get stuck in Goop. He did not swim in Goop. He believed he knew from a higher level. Do you remember that story in Matthew 14, 22 to 32, where Jesus comments on their faith? It's the story of Jesus walking on the water. And I'll read you Matthew 14, verse 22 to 32. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. So Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got back in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So what would Jesus do? There is eventually a period of more truths to be heard, more learning for us that become new truths. Sometimes they are truths that were there all along, like Myrtle Fillmore discovering, learning the concept, the truth that we were born whole and complete. We just grow up in the early years learning about sickness and often following the wrong Goop. My life journey and the experiences with doctors early on taught me to question them, to ask, and to seek other answers, to look for other solutions, to see if what they said was true. I personally have organised a talk some years back by a lady called Christabel Mary, and it was held at the Unity of Melbourne Burwood Sanctuary. And it was about a lady, Christabel, whose journey was that she was given 3 to 6 months to live. And after her diagnosis of ovarian cancer, she was sent home to get her things in order and then to come back in 5 days and to have the cyst removed. But no further treatment would work. So my health mentors rushed around to her place with all the right nutrition and lots of it. And Christabel Mary prayed. She changed her beliefs, her food, and her nutrition. She went back for the operation, and the doctors were in disbelief that the cyst was now going hard and breaking down just 5 days later. She wrote a book and did a wonderful talk for me at Burwood in 2005, some 6 years after her diagnosis. And today she runs a retreat helping others to heal, which includes helping them change their beliefs. She actually runs in Queensland. She has a place. Okay, so back to solutions and unity. So now we are learning, understanding our fear response and dealing with shifting our paradigms. Can feel a little uncomfortable because, you know, we think we are right, or we think we were right. We think we know everything. As Robert Kiyosaki says in his book, Fake, what we want to be able to see is both sides of the coin and then sit on the edge. That's the growth, awareness, observation, learning, and so denial of past beliefs. Next comes the affirmation part. As you may have heard, affirmations don't work. Well, they don't work if you don't say them, write them right, and engage with them. And more, you really have to deal with both the thoughts and feelings that were engaged in that old belief. So an affirmation is said to replace the denied stuff, to give new power to the new belief. It's also to be stated in the positive, in the now, and as if it had happened. Or as Jesus might say, as it is, because that's how he saw things. And the past, and the last part here I want to mention is our I am. That's the truth of us. And for our I am, there is no fear, there is only love. So affirmation would start with I am and may include, I am now feeling happy and healthy, knowing my body has amazing healing abilities and knows what to do and when to do it, so that I enjoy a life of healing, health, and well-being. I love affirmations that invoke visual imagery with wonderful words of emotion. So two more things. No more goop. From you or others, to you or to others. And of course, what was it that Myrtle did? What was it that Jesus did? They prayed, they meditated, they listened to truth and held faith. Their belief was strong, and their belief was developed by doing the changes in beliefs, transforming themselves by dealing with the goop and the wrong beliefs and living into the truth. The outcome is the different actions we now take because of the new truths. Yes, change will happen in your life. That is the intention, to live a life of love and faith in your own life. So are you swimming in goop? Are you being gooped to others? Then stop. Look and learn and listen in prayer and meditation. Today, right now, no more goop, no matter the topic. If you do not know enough about it, then go learn more about it. Go listen to many others who can give you different perspectives, and turn off the media It is goop in the worst way, and it's just for profit. Don't believe anything on the 6 o'clock news. Get out of the goop and into your spirit, into learning and living and asking, what would Jesus do? And so I'm going to take some of that idea of the truth of love into our meditation this morning. So if you would all like to get comfortable where you are and just relax, allowing the chair to support you, knowing that you're physically supported. And gently relax your eyes, allowing them to close, feeling your eyelids relax and release all tension. As we gently focus on our breath and breathing, that feeling of relaxation moves down our body with each breath in and out. As we release with each breath, breathing out, we let go of all tension in our body. We let go of any tension in thoughts, and we let go of any tension in feelings. We relax. That relaxation is moving down our body as we allow ourselves this time. Breathing gently in and out. I invite you to take your focus to the heart center. And as we focus on our heart center, our gentle breathing in and out, we bring in some wonderful thoughts and feelings of love. In our heart center, we can focus with our feelings of love. We're going to allow that feeling of love to move throughout our whole body as we breathe in gently, in and out. Allowing that love feeling to spread throughout our whole body. And moving gently outside our body so it encompasses everything around us. We're going to expand that feeling of love now even further, so it expands to everything in our local area, all the people around us, that our family, friends, neighbours, those who pass through the area, extending love to everyone around us. And now we're going to extend that love across our whole state of Queensland or Victoria or where you're coming from. And then move it across all of Australia. Gather up New Zealand as you go, sharing that love feeling and expanding it, feeling it move from your heart center out, extending further and further, allowing it to reach all across the southern hemisphere, and then moving in out until you take in our whole world, our whole environment around us, everything around us, that we can beam from our heart center their love. So we're going to take a couple of minutes to feel that love moving from us out into our world and listening to spirit as we release that love everywhere. And as we gently recover back into our heart that love we've been passing out everywhere across our world, we remember that we carry this within us everywhere we go, and we can share it all the time. I invite you now to come back into your body and keep that love center working through your own body and your own life. So we give thanks for this time with spirit and our gratitude. So gently now moving back into your body, wriggling your fingers and toes, and giving thanks for this experience yourselves. I give thanks for this time we've had to do this. And I invite you to gently listen to this wonderful song as you come back into the room now.
It's my decision. It's up to me to give of my heart. Love is my decision. No one else can tell me to start. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision right here and now. Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on that bridge. Once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision right here and
decision
right here.